In a world where roughly 95 to 99% of dishes in American homes are machine-made, Abigail, with Taste and See Ceramics, is putting the clay back in the potter's hands. Hand-thrown and hand-glazed during nap time and bedtime, each mug is made with care and purpose. Inspired by the Proverbs 31 woman, Abigail has set a goal to sell 3,000 mugs in 2026. Support their family business at tasteandseeceramics.com or find them on Instagram and Facebook. Use code 3000 for 10% off your order and to be added to the list of people who make this dream a reality. Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, here today with Kate Hutchcraft and Becky McNeely. How are you guys?
Good.
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 It's chilly today.
It's freezing down here. I had my hood up a minute ago and had plans to just, like, record like this.
Like an Eskimo.
Yeah. Do we have, like, can you guys
is there
pay attention
here?
And feel?
Yeah, there's heat. Serious. It just takes, it'll warm up by the time we need to go home.
Good.
So. Yeah. Good, good.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, I am recording in Eskimo mode with my hood up. So, we today are going to do the Q&A of our hospitality series, which I have so enjoyed.
Yes.
It has been really fun going through the series. I can't even take myself seriously. I can't talk. So, it's been really cool, and it's been encouragement to me, and I hope it's been encouragement to all the listeners out there to just be welcoming people into their home. And it's just been cool to reflect God has welcomed us in warmly, generously, kindly. So that's been cool, just to think about the connection of what we're doing whenever we are being hospitable to others and how God has been so hospitable to us and that being the motivation for it all. So
I think
it's been cool.
I think one of my favorite parts from this series is when you made the connection between how the Lord is preparing a place for us. And that has continued to resonate in my mind over the course of this last month and then going into this next month, too, of just I'm preparing all of these things for my family and for my home and for friends and friends coming to visit, family coming to visit, the same way that in a much smaller way, but mirroring what the Lord is doing for us. And that has been such a cool connection and thing to kind of hang my hat on the days where it feels like I'm mopping my floors again, I'm doing this again. It's been a really good encouragement of, yeah, I get to do this again because the Lord is still doing that for me, you know, and for us.
Are you guys doing little Advent things and have it has it started?
Yeah, we're doing a million Advent things.
We are. It's like 30 minutes in the morning.
I know.
Like going from one thing to the other. Uh-huh. But it's so fun. I wake up looking forward to it. I'm like, ooh, it's day four.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. So we do Very Merry Christmas,
uh-huh,
which Jared's mom did for them as a kid. And you too. Your mom did it too.
Yeah.
And then she found the thing on Etsy, and Marsha found it on Etsy and then made it for all of us. And then did you get it?
My sister Megan found it on Etsy as well.
Okay.
And then she gifted it to us a couple years
ago. So cool. So it's just a little bear that moves from thing to thing.
I think
but it's very nostalgic for Jared.
Well,
so.
I haven't moved it today. Yesterday, I think it was
he was in the mailbox.
In the mailbox.
Yesterday was in the mailbox.
Sleigh.
Mm-hmm.
It was very cute.
This morning. And then we have just like a house that I redid a few years ago that was a really fun craft project. So you can just find an ugly Advent calendar house at a thrift store and then redo it because that's what I did. Just painted it and like put little bark shake shingles on the top. And it was a fun project. I would like to do that again. It's kind of like a dollhouse when people redo the dollhouses, but an Advent house. And then so that either has a little paper in it that I'll say like, go do this, you know, a little note, or it'll just have candy. And then after Christmas every year, I look for cheap, like the cardboard ones that are random themes.
Oh, yeah.
One year we had like a Lego one that you open. And it's like a tiny little Lego train that you add to every day. That was a cool one. This year's a Pokemon one. And then we also, Miss Vicky gave us last year a Advent jigsaw puzzle.
Oh,
and
good.
We are deep into puzzling right now.
We are
really into puzzling. That's everyone's favorite this year, and I never expected it to be because we've never been big puzzlers, but we are right now. And it's you open a tiny box, and there's maybe like 30 or 40 pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, and then you put those together, and then the next day you add on to that. But that's, it's really fun, because so like funny. The day before you're like, did we miss that piece? Like, is it lost? There'll be like one in the middle that's gone. You're like, what on earth? Like, where is that one? But it's in the next day. And it's so satisfying. You're like, yes, we finished the angel. So yeah, those are our like very extended Advent-y things, but like every year we're going to do more things. It's a whole day of Advent activities.
I think that's one of my favorite parts of homeschooling, is we have all this time.
Yeah,
why
want.
Not?
We're the boss of us.
Four Advent things in a day.
Yeah.
My kids love Advent, love Christmas. They think about it and talk about it all year. And we do the Berry Merry Christmas. We do. Now, I'm not crafty like Jordan.
I feel like you are. In a different way.
I can follow direction.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, in a very controlled way.
In a very controlled way. I can be creative. But I would have a really hard time. I remember when you bought that Advent house, and I looked at it. I was like, wow, what a train wreck. Like, the first one, it was like a bajillion different colors at all out of place. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to be cute. And then you turned it into the most beautiful, charming little house. But I also found one at Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
It was similar for like $12.
Yeah, it's fine.
So
do that too.
That's what I did, mm-hmm. because that was more in my abilities.
Yeah,
more in my wheelhouse. But we do the Advent house too. And on the Fruitful and Fearless website right now, there are little cards that you can print off. They're like, I think there's 40 of them, different activities to choose from. And almost all of them don't cost a thing. It's things like build a fort, watch a Christmas movie, and have a sleepover under the Christmas tree, which my kids have done two nights in a row now.
So fun.
And they begged me last night before bed. They're like, please, mommy, can we sleep under the Christmas tree? I was like, yes, of course. The whole little palette was still set up. I was like, absolutely. You're only little ones, you know. But if you want, grab that printable on those little Advent activities, because it's such simple little things.
Mm-hmm.
But something about it just brings a lot of magic.
Oh, yeah.
You open it out of a little drawer,
yeah.
Or I've seen some people too, you can get little mailboxes at Walmart.
Bless you.
You can get these little mailboxes at Walmart, or I've seen them at like Dollar Tree,
yeah.
Dollar General. And you could always do that too. If you don't have space for an Advent house, you could just do this little mailbox and put one piece of paper in every day. But we do the Advent house, Very Merry Christmas. This year, I wrapped 24 of our Christmas books before the kids even came. I pulled out their favorites and wrapped them. And so every day they're like, which one's it going to be? Which one's it going to be? And some of them I timed. So like on the 12th day of Christmas, we're reading the 12 Days of Christmas by Jan Brett.
Oh, that's fun.
And then the night before Christmas, we're going to read the night before Christmas.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I timed some of them, and then some of them are just random. But they've loved that. And they were gifted a Lego Advent calendar this year.
Yes.
My sister-in-law Shania found one, and she's like, please, can I give this to them?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So that's been very
sweet. Those are great to get after Christmas, because normally you can spend up to $50 on one of those. But if you go after Christmas and grab one, they're cheap.
She found one brand new at a thrift store.
Yes.
Like still in the wrapping and awesome. Everything. But yeah. Post-Christmas sales are where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
We're doing we have a tree, an Advent tree with a ton of little drawers I found after Christmas last year. And since Audrey's three, I kind of felt like we didn't do as much last year just because she was two.
Yeah.
And there was,
yeah.
So this year's our first year, really. But we printed off the things from Fruitful and Fearless, and we've been doing those. And she's having such a fun time.
Yes.
And then her aunt gifts her a different Advent calendar every year. So this year it's Play-Doh.
Oh,
which has been super fun. I know.
Very cool.
I didn't even know they had an Advent calendar. So that's been really fun. I was going to wrap all of our books, but I did not. So I've
just you nursed it.
I did. So I have.
That's not a season.
No, I've been staying up till 2 a.m. for Christmas
Please
magic.
Stop
and
it.
I was like, this is where it ends for me, the wrapping of the books.
Mm-hmm.
But I've hidden them.
Oh,
so
cute. Yeah.
So she hunts down the book, and I've also timed some of them. And then I think, is it 12 days before Christmas you start the donkey one?
Yes.
Yes.
We started it already because we don't often do that kind of stuff on non-school days.
Yeah.
And so we miss a lot. So I just went ahead and started ours.
Yeah. I'm excited
but
for
that.
We did
really
that last
cute.
Year and Audrey loved that. It's what's it called?
Donkey in the living room.
The living room, yeah. Yeah, that's fun.
I forgot one.
We forgot another one.
We do the Shepherd on the Search.
Have we ever done that?
No.
It's kind of like Elf on the Shelf, but it's a little shepherd that you hide around the house, and he's searching for a baby Jesus. So there's a book that you read at the beginning, and he's like following these shepherds to, like, he hears the song and he wants to follow the shepherds to find Jesus. And so every morning you hide him somewhere different. And since Brandon is working to provide for us, he's not there when we do a lot of our Advent stuff. And so that's what he does.
Oh,
he's like, can I do this? I was like, absolutely. Oh, so he hides, and you get to name your, just like you name an elf on the shelf, you name your shepherd, but it's a lot more low maintenance because he's just searching.
Yeah.
So you're just hiding him. You're not creating all these things, which great if that's something that you have time for, but that's, I like it to be kind of preset.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of roll with it each year or each day.
I do have time for 15 Advents. I draw the line.
That's too much.
I draw the line at
three.
It's too much for me.
I don't have an hour and a half of the morning.
So for me, I like to have it prepped ahead of time.
Yeah.
So I have a big tote where all of my Advent stuff goes in. So everything for the month is already prepped.
Yeah.
So when it comes time for like our marshmallow snowball fight, I already have the marshmallows.
Right.
I just go grab the bag and we walk out to the backyard.
Yeah.
But an elf on the shelf, I did that for my students when I was teaching, and they had a lot of fun with it. It was very sweet because not a lot of them had Christmas stuff at home.
Yeah.
So it was very sweet to do, but it was a lot of mental effort. I'm like, okay, what's going to be this? So I guess it is something you could prep ahead of time.
Yeah.
If you plan it out and like wrote it on a calendar.
I just don't have an elf for the shelf.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just always thought they were like doing naughty things.
Sometimes. Sometimes they do naughty things. Sometimes it's kind of whatever you want it to be.
It can be a nice
elf. It can be cute. It can be a nice elf.
Okay.
But we like the little shepherd, and then you get to name him. And so ours is named Leo. So Brandon hides Leo every morning.
Jared's doing the Advent family worship that George wrote for our church.
Yeah.
Did you guys get one of those?
No.
Oh, you guys need to get one.
I didn't know it.
George made a Advent guide for family worship, and it's
awesome.
Well, I just bought one, and we're doing R.C. Sproul's because I didn't. It hasn't so far.
Yeah.
But we were talking, and I was like, we don't have anything for family worship.
There
and
might be more sitting out there.
Okay.
George printed a bunch off.
Maybe we'll do two then.
Yeah. It's like a song.
I love that.
So he's doing that in the evenings, but I just love all the festive.
I do
all the festive things. And I was telling my mom this yesterday. Every year, I want to not stress and just do whatever God brings along.
Yeah.
Like this year, God brought the jigsaw puzzle through Miss Vicky, and that has been so much fun. And it's kind of like that with gifts that I make for people too.
Mm-hmm.
This year, God brought along a bunch of glass yogurt jars throughout the year. And I was like, oh, I should make something in these. So I've been doing seasoning blends and stuff for people. So it's just, don't be stressed. Like you have to go searching out to try to make all of this magic, and don't stress yourself out by it. But like, what magic has God brought you? Try to be creative with it and do the best that you can.
Yeah.
But don't freak out if you don't have an elf on the shelf, or if you don't have a shepherd on the search. Like, what do you have? And what kind of magic can you make with it? And be thankful and content with that.
Yep.
Yes.
Because you can get caught up in, well, those sound all like great ideas, but you have things too. You can make magic with what you have too.
Yes, absolutely.
So maybe we should do our actual topic for our episode now. Okay, so you guys wrote in a lot of questions, and that makes me happy. I'm glad you were all so invested in this. So we're going to work through as many as we can, and this might be divided up into multiple episodes, but we're just going to kind of take our time and enjoy this. So first, large meal ideas. Basically, do you have go-tos that you do when you have people over, and some that are better when you're having a lot of people over versus just a good meal for company? Go.
A full bar of food. So like taco bar, bar. Not alcohol bar.
Open bar. Not bad for hospitality.
No. Like anything that could be a bar style.
Yes.
I feel like is easy because you get the main thing. So if it's like the meat and the shells or tortilla, whatever, or you get the potatoes, and then you just have all the toppings. And I feel like that's really easy, especially potato bars are, I feel like, one of the easiest, or like a soup.
What's nice about doing a bar like that is you can prep all those toppings ahead of time. So the day that you're hosting, you're literally popping potatoes in a Instant Pot or in the oven, or you're not having to chop all of the things and do all of the things. So it's really easy to prep ahead of time. I like that idea.
So the opposite of that, I like to do a big meat item, like smoking a pork shoulder or a brisket. or doing Italian beef in a crock pot. Just like a large meat that is really hands off, like throwing it in the smoke or the crock pot, and then just simple sides to go with it. So with Italian beef, I usually do chips, like ruffle chip, or not ruffle chips. What's it called? Ripple? Whatever those are called.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the Boulder Canyon ones because they're avocado oil, and at Sam's, you can get a giant bag of them for $5. They're really cheap and they're seed oil free, and that's important to me. And then I've been making a ranch dip blend. And you just mix it with sour cream. It's a really good dip. So like Italian beef, those chips and dip. And then I have a blue cheese slaw recipe that I really like, if you like blue cheese. And that's really easy because I just get like the slaw, the chopped up cabbage bag, you know?
Yeah, yep.
And then I just do my blue cheese mixture that I put in for the dressing. And that's a super simple meal, but it's really yummy. And then for like a pork shoulder, you can do similar sides with that, or like baked beans, but you're just making simple sides and it's all very hands off. Like you can make your slaw before, you can make the baked beans before in a crock pot. So you have like a big meat that's hands off and the sides that are either made before or you're not doing much with. Oh, but I just heard a cream corn recipe that seems great. It's all in a crock pot, two frozen bags of corn, and then a block of cream cheese, a stick of butter, a couple teaspoons of sugar, salt and pepper.
Oh my.
And it's like the best cream corn. And
just let it heat in the crock pot.
Yeah. Like let it heat in the crock pot low for an hour.
Or something. Awesome.
Yeah. So sides like that, the quantity, you feel a lot of meatball, it's tasty, but it's super simple to just throw all that stuff in a crock pot.
Yeah. I was going to say meatballs. And the only reason I thought of it is because I made those meatballs the other day that are, they're like the Salisbury steak meatballs and they're amazing. And then you just do like mashed potatoes, a veggie, like sheet pan dessert or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, there you go.
One of my favorite desserts to make for a large crowd is it's venison for dinner's berry crisp.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
I knew you were going to say that one.
So good. Yeah. So simple. And every time people are like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm like, it took me 5 minutes.
I have it's one fantastic. That's, I do that one too, but I like this one. It's a Pioneer Woman blackberry cobbler, but it's more of like a cake. You know, sometimes people call cobbler when it's like fruit and then a crust on top.
Yeah.
And then sometimes people call it cobbler when it's like a cake. So kind of like
a
cake situation.
Yeah.
This is more of a cake kind of a feel. But you do, it's like so simple. Self-raising flour, frozen blackberries. I can't remember all the ingredients, but it's like four ingredients you mix in the 9x13.
Nice.
Mix it up and put it in the oven.
That's awesome. Do you use frozen berries for yours?
I do.
Okay, me too.
Mostly because we have an incredible amount of blackberry bushes.
Yes.
We have so many blackberry bushes at our house.
Yeah.
And I always have, even though the kids eat them like little bunnies, I mean, they probably eat their weight in blackberries every year. I still have gallon frozen bags frozen of blackberries. So that's primarily why I do frozen. But it's also just, I feel like they stir better.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about smashing them as I'm stirring.
Yeah.
And then as they cook, they kind of, you know, just come out and it's good.
We should post that recipe because it's so easy.
It is so
good.
We should.
And it could totally be the season for it. I make it all summer long, but
a lot of venison for dinner recipes are good for a group.
Yes.
They're usually larger quantities.
And I always get ice cream to go with it.
Yeah.
And everybody's happy with bear crisp and ice cream.
The same thought as the meatballs that you mentioned, meatball subs are great ones too. You can either make your meatballs ahead of time and freeze them, or if you are in a rush, buy some frozen meatballs, no big deal. Put them in a crock pot with marinara sauce and then either make or buy some buns and shredded cheese for the top. That's a great meal. And then you can do simple sides to go with that if you want. Or the teriyaki meatballs. I made them for you one time. Those are really good, and that's a sheet pan meal. So, yeah, meatballs all around are a good option.
I have, and these ones I think take a little bit more. They're not quite as simple to toss together, but they're pretty close. But they make a large quantity easily. So potato soup, homemade bread, and then I like the salad mixes. Because you don't have to think about all of the things to toss in,
it's very expensive to buy all the things you need for a nice salad.
Yes, it is.
You could spend like $40 buying olives and cheeses and produce and all the things.
Yeah.
And if you were going to buy a nice dressing, like if you're just going to go to the store and put all of that together,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of expensive.
Or you could just get 3 bags of salad mix already ready.
Fine. Yes.
And then you don't have to think about it. You just kind of think which flavor profile fits the meal better.
Yeah. You know? And there are certain things in our daily life that I don't typically do. Like, I don't typically do some stuff for our daily life. But if I am hosting a bunch of people, mm-hmm. it's like, I will do shortcuts and we will all live.
Right.
Yeah. And everything is fine. And I will remain sane.
Yeah.
So whenever I am bringing things to a large gathering or having a lot of people over, I take more shortcuts than I do just when it's for our family and our daily cooking.
Yeah. And with potato soup too, you can peel and chop the potatoes ahead of time, blanch them and put them in the freezer. And then you can just toss them in whenever you're ready to make the soup, and you can chop the veggies too, and you don't have to blanch the veggies. The veggies you can just chop up ahead of time.
I never even blanch my potatoes, and I feel like that's going to make your eye twitch.
Mine turn gray.
Mine don't.
What kind of potatoes are you getting?
Golden? Or what are they called? Yellow?
Yeah.
Yukon gold?
Wait, you're blanching your potatoes for soup?
Yeah.
Well,
I freeze them. So I make
ahead
of time fries in my little fry cutter with my thing. This motion that makes fries. And then I freeze them flat on a cookie sheet and nothing bad ever happens.
Weird. I don't know why.
What kind of potatoes were yours?
Just
russet?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the difference. Maybe I don't know. Let it be known. Mine were gray and I didn't blanch.
Well, do an experiment.
Yeah. Yeah.
See which one works. But so potato soup, though, you can prep that ahead of time and then just toss all the stuff in a crock pot.
Or
let it kind of simmer or
you melt. Could make the potato soup ahead of time even.
Oh, yeah.
If you wanted to.
Like, yeah.
If something.
That.
Yeah.
And then the other ideas they had were spaghetti, salad, and garlic bread.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have somebody who is gluten-free, like I am, or mm-hmm. Kate, you have people in your family that are, you can always just make separate noodles and keep the sauce and the noodles separate.
Yes.
And then garlic bread, obviously you can do gluten-free as well. Salad always goes well. Again, salad mix. I would do a Caesar salad with spaghetti. Mm-hmm. And then If we are having like a big crew over, so on Easter, we usually host people who don't have a place to go on Easter. If they can't make it back home, they usually come to our house or we invite them over. But I'll do a big ham in a crock pot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, I learned this from Andy, you don't actually have to cook the ham. The hams are actually already cooked.
You're warming it.
And that's how hams get super dry is people think, oh, I got to bake it for so long.
No.
You don't. You actually just need to warm it up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put it in a crock pot, you rub it with brown sugar. And then some people use pineapple juice. I'm allergic, so I don't do that. But I use orange juice instead. And then I think it's equal parts orange juice, maple syrup, and what did I just say? Brown sugar.
Yeah.
So you do the brown sugar rub and then mix the orange juice and maple syrup together and pour that over the top. And it's delicious. You just put it on low because you don't want it to cook for a long time for high. You want it to just kind of warm up. So put it on low for a few hours and it's done. Mashed potatoes, green beans, cooked cinnamon apples go really well.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're super simple, especially if you have one of those peelers. We have one that like hooks onto the countertop.
Yeah.
You just stab the apple through it and just crank the little crank.
I have one too and I never use it. Why not?
The kids love using it. You just have to supervise because there are some blades, but obviously. But I use that when I make apple pies or if we make apple butter or if I'm making cooked apples or applesauce because it peels, it chops them or slices it for you, you know. It's just so much easier.
And some of these things in life are easier if you are thinking, I'm going to be doing this in my life.
Yes.
I'm going to be showing hospitality in my life. So one year, me and my mom and maybe me and you had a million apples.
Yes.
So we made of apple pie filling.
Yes.
Were you involved in apple pie filling?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I had a freezer full of gallon bags of just apple pie filling that you can either make an apple pie with or you could throw in the crock pot and make cinnamon delicious applesauce.
Yeah.
Or you could do like cinnamon apples. You could throw them in a cast iron skillet with some butter and fry them up and they were awesome.
Yeah.
So if you're just kind of always thinking, oh, I have that stuff in the freezer, or just always thinking what would make life easier down the road when I am showing hospitality, or this would be great for small group or whatever.
That's one of those things, like Becky and I usually go to the, I think you've been, when we've been there too, to McLaughlin Strawberry
Patch,
and then I always buy an extra like flat, and then just freeze them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I'm going to be hosting and probably making a lot of berry crisps and things with berries.
Yeah.
And then it makes it so much easier because I'm not spending $6 on a little 2-pound thing. Like,
oh, I have them in the freezer.
Yeah, it's just there. So.
And then a lot of recipes are easy just to do extra of, and then you have them in the freezer. I did that with chicken pot pie this week. I'd never made a chicken pot pie in my life.
So good.
I don't know why. I love chicken pot pie. Yeah. I was like, why have I never made this?
Did you use Shauna's recipe?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was so good. But I do gluten-full crust. I don't do gluten-free. So, yeah. People ask me frequently if I'm gluten-free. I don't know why. But I've had this multiple times.
You're surrounded by gluten-free.
You don't look inflamed.
You don't look like you have inflammation. Do you do gluten-free?
I told you about the place where I get my nails done. And the lady said,
you low-carb?
Yeah.
You low-carb? She was like, so you do low-carb? And I was like, no, I do high-carb. I do lots of bread. But anyway, I do gluten-full pie crust. But I just doubled that. So I have 2 extra pie crusts frozen in the freezer. Mm-hmm. And I doubled my filling. So I have another little thing in the freezer so I can easily put together chicken pot pie. Either if something comes up and someone needs a meal last minute, or if I want to have people over and I'm like, oh, I have that one. I can make it second really easy. So
yeah, I did that this year for our Christmas meal. The kids are obsessed with cheesy chowder from Wing Feather Saga.
Isn't it so good?
I'm going through Wing Feather Saga.
Did you make honey muffins to go with it?
No.
Did you see the honey muffin recipe?
No.
Or the blueberry, what are those called? Blueberry boggles or something like that?
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
The first time,
deep diving I have to do.
Go deeper into the wing feather recipes. The first time I made cheesy cheddar, I made honey muffins to go with it. And it was while we were reading Wing Feather Saga. So everyone was like, oh, my gosh.
Magical.
Yeah.
We're on book 3, but Jen's starting to get a little bit spooked.
Yeah.
But she also really wants to listen. So we're taking a break for right now.
Because for the Christmas season.
The Christmas season. She's like, I really want to listen, but mommy, I'm also kind of scared.
She's still in nightmares for Christmas.
Yeah. we're on, is it Monster in the Hollows?
Yeah.
Something like that. So she's like, mommy, I think it's too scary. Mm-hmm. But Jack adores those books. So for Christmas this year, I asked him, I said, what do you guys want on Christmas Day for the meal? And because growing up, we always did like this huge feast. And I just remember how stressful it was having to wash all the china and wash all the goblets. And, you know, and it was a beautiful meal. It was always beautiful, but it was stressful.
It's a trade-off.
It is. Like,
do we want a giant feast?
Yeah.
Or do we want more time
sitting
and playing a game or watching a movie together or something?
And when Brandon and I got married and we did Christmas with him his family for the first year, I was like, this is great. You guys hang out in PJs all day. Mm-hmm. And his mom would make like a whole countertop full of appetizers. And she's like, eat whatever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah.
And hang out in your PJs.
Yeah.
We have Hallmark on in the living room, which I know now is controversial. But, you know.
Yeah.
At the time.
Great American family.
Great American family now. And then hang out and play games together. And I was like, that's what I want for our family.
Yeah,
so we've adopted that. But people still need like a meal, like a snack tray is not enough. So they asked for the cheesy chowder. So I made a double batch. And so our Christmas meal is already made and it's in the freezer. And all I have to do is toss it in and make the little sauce.
Yeah. So. Something we do in the summer a lot is grilling out if we're having people over. Mm-hmm. So if people are coming over in the summer, we're grilling burgers, we're throwing steaks on, brats, anything you can grill, because we're going to be hanging out in the backyard. Kids are going to be in the Shark Park.
Yeah.
So everybody's just outside anyway. It's easy just to throw things on a grill and then you can just have easy sides to go with that, obviously. And then we've also done homemade pizza nights where people come over and are like making pizzas while we're hanging out. And that's fun too.
My sister-in-law did that with naan.
Yeah.
Like the little flatbread naan.
Yes.
We did that when we went camping together with Brandon's family. And it was perfect because everybody could make their own little toppings and it's great.
I did that for lunches for the week for my family. I've been trying to think ahead of like, okay, what can I prepare on the weekend that could be like our lunches for the week?
Mm-hmm.
And I did that, made up a bunch of naan, and the kids love making their own little pizzas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we did that for lunches. So homemade pizzas. And then one time Rachel came over and we made a million homemade pizzas together and put them in the freezer.
Smart.
And that was so fun because we got to hang out and then I had a freezer full of homemade pizzas that were frozen.
Did you
opt out?
So you just made them ready to pop in the oven and then froze them?
We par-baked the crust, and then we put all the toppings on and then froze them like that. And then wrapped them in saran wrap really well and then froze them.
When you say par-baked, can you tell me what that looks like?
I'm not really sure if that's the right term, but we baked them for a partial amount of the time.
Okay.
Okay.
Does that mean par-baked?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So I rolled out the crust. We should ask her. But we rolled out the crust and then I would pop it in. So if I normally cook my pizza for like 10, 15 minutes, I maybe bake the crust for 5 and okay. then pull them out, put all the toppings on and let them cool for a little bit and then wrap them all up in saran wrap.
Okay. That makes sense. That
way. Long enough to where your dough isn't just floppy dough, but it has a little bit of form and you have all your toppings on and then wrap them up.
That's really smart.
It was really fun. I like hanging out like that while you're doing something festive together.
Especially if it centers around food.
Yes.
I feel like it's always,
it's like meal prep together.
We've been reading Family Driven Faith with our small group, and it was talking, Vody was talking about, you know, setting family traditions and things like that. And one of the things we decided to do is a game and pizza night on Friday nights together. And because Brandon was like, this would be really fun when our kids are older and like, we can't wait to go home for pizza and game night, you know? And we love games and stuff like that. So
yeah, I want to have those standing traditions of like, you know, every Sunday night we're going to have homemade pizza. Come every Sunday night if you want. You know, just someone always knowing that they can come home and that's going to be there.
And having that already built into our family's habits and rhythms of like, you know, when you have teenagers, like, oh, I can't wait to go home for pizza and game night, you know? And that's how they want to spend their Friday night is with their family, eating pizza and playing games, you know? So I thought that was sweet. But that's the one thing is every Friday I'm making homemade pizzas, which isn't hard.
No.
But when you have a gluten-free crust and then a regular crust and then, you know, it can...
So I always...
That's a good idea.
Even if I don't have the whole pizzas made up and frozen, I always have dough frozen because I make it... If I'm going to make up a batch of dough, I'm making it up like quadrupled.
Yeah.
Because why not? If I'm going to be doing this, why don't I do it, you know, 9 cups of flour? And then I will just freeze it in 1 pizza amounts.
That's smart.
In the freezer, and then you just pull it out. It makes it a lot easier.
It's 9:56.
Cool.
You know, I also wondered at Thanksgiving, why don't we make turkey more often for like get togethers?
Yeah.
Like, why don't we smoke turkeys more often? Yeah. But that was another one, like, just get a turkey or
a
ham.
Idea.
Like, why don't I make ham when people come over?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's easy. I think that's all of my meal ideas. What about you?
All of mine.
All right. We got through one question. So we will definitely be doing this again next week. We'll try to make it through more questions next week. But yeah, we do this in our little slot of time before we have to teach classes at Academy. And Becky's got to go teach one now.
Yep.
Right? Are you? Who's going to teach? Becky. Okay. Thanks for listening.